Heavenly Father, again, we come into your presence thankful. We're thankful for the gift of music. We're thankful for the opportunity to sing praises to you. But even more importantly, Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to read it. Thankful for the opportunity to hear it read to us, to be reminded of what you've done. And Father, we're thankful now for the opportunity to reflect on that more, to dive in a little deeper. And so, Father, we pray that you would meet us here tonight as we dive into your word, that you would speak, and that you would speak clearly and powerfully to each one of us. Not only remind us clearly of who Jesus is and what he's done, but also implant those truths on our hearts. And may we leave changed as a result of hearing you speak. Anything we have going on our hearts or minds tonight, Father, we pray that you would push that aside. We don't want anything to distract us from hearing you speak. And so we pray that you push those things away and that you speak clearly and powerfully tonight. All God's people said, amen. So there's one, maybe there's more, I suppose, but there's one real universal reality that I think every single human being that has ever existed has experienced, and that is suffering. There is no way to go through life without some form of suffering. Obviously, there's various degrees that people suffer, but everyone will suffer at some point. Universal experience. And yet, even though it's this universal experience that everyone has experienced before, we don't really understand it, do we? And you can see, even throughout the centuries, throughout millennia, really, people have been writing books trying to figure out suffering. Why do we suffer? What's the point of it? Even you open up your Bibles and you turn to the Psalms, and you're going to see psalm after psalm after psalm wrestling with this idea of suffering. You'll hear the psalmist say, "Why am I the one who's suffering? Why is that person not suffering? Where's God in the midst of this? Has God turned his back on me in the midst of my suffering? What's the point of it all?" And really, I think that's kind of at the heart under it. We really want to know what's the point of suffering. Is there purpose in it? Is there meaning in it? Because there's really nothing more debilitating, frustrating, hopeless than suffering that just seems pointless. It really kind of sucks the life out of us. And as we come to Good Friday, I think Jesus teaches us quite a bit about suffering and the point of it. And I've been thinking about, as I often do, the Heidelberg Catechism, and I think it really helps us in understanding Christ's suffering a little bit. In the Apostles' Creed, we say we believe that Jesus suffered. And so the Catechism says, okay, what do you mean when you say the word suffered, or that you say that Jesus suffered? And here's how it explains it. It says that during his whole life on earth, but especially at the end, Christ sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. And what I appreciate about that answer in the Catechism, it kind of broadens the scope of Jesus' suffering. I think for most of us, we think of Jesus' suffering, we think of Good Friday. And yet the Catechism says Jesus actually suffered throughout his entire life. Jesus' entire existence here on earth was a life of suffering. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus was despised and rejected by all of humanity. He was a man of sorrows. We sang that tonight. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted. He was anguished in his soul. His whole life, from beginning to end was a life of suffering, but especially at the end. If you kind of picture Jesus' life as one of suffering from beginning to end, but it's kind of increasing throughout, getting stronger and stronger and stronger, to when we get to Good Friday, it's the peak of Jesus' suffering as he's beaten, as he's mocked, as he's nailed to a cross, hanging from the cross. And we see that suffering in Jesus, and I think most of us can't even imagine what that was like. We think, I can't even fathom how much pain he was in. And yet, that wasn't the worst of his suffering. The physical pain wasn't. The Catechism reminds us that actually the suffering that Jesus felt was the wrath of God against sinful humanity. And Jesus felt that throughout his life. And that increasingly bore down on him as he got closer and closer to the cross. And as he hung on the cross, the wrath of God bore down on him that it crushed him. That's what Isaiah 53 says. It truly is, when you not just the physical suffering of Jesus, but the wrath of God suffering of Jesus helps us recognize that that's a level of suffering that no one has ever experienced in the history of humanity. And yet, the book of Hebrews can say this: it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross and despised its shame. And it makes you go, how? I don't even have joy when I stub my toe, let alone have joy as I'm undergoing the worst suffering that has ever been experienced in humanity. How in the world could Jesus experience that with joy, even as the Son of God? Here's the rest of the Catechism's answer. It says, this he did in order that by his suffering, as the only atoning sacrifice, he might deliver us, body and soul, from eternal condemnation and gain for us God's grace, righteousness, and eternal life. Jesus' suffering wasn't pointless. There was meaning behind it. There was purpose behind it. And the purpose was that Jesus was going to go his whole life bearing the wrath of God so that we wouldn't have to bear the wrath of God against our sin. And more than that, not only that we would be saved from God's wrath, but then we would also receive God's grace, his righteousness, his life for all of eternity. That's why Jesus was able to suffer with joy. He knew his suffering wasn't meaningless. Or, to connect it with the passage that Zoe read, Jesus knew that his suffering would bear much fruit. And that's the whole way that passage in John 15 connects with tonight, is recognizing that Jesus' suffering bore much fruit. And not just, we know that Jesus' death on the cross bore fruit so that when we look to him in faith, we're forgiven, the wrath of God is satisfied, we're cleansed of our sin. We know that, and that's powerful, and yet Jesus' suffering bore even more fruit than that. His suffering bore fruit that continues to work itself out in our own lives, so that we would bear fruit and his people would continue to bear fruit throughout the ages. Part of the fruit that came about through Jesus' suffering, we talked about on Sunday morning, where Jesus was telling his people, he said, you know, when you believe in me, I'm going to dwell in you, and the Father's going to dwell in you, and the Spirit's going to dwell in you, that we're going to be united in this. And he just changes the language a little bit when he gets to John 15 and he says, let me give you an analogy of that. I'm the vine and you are the branches. And if we're connected, my life and my energy will flow through you. But he also says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Branches, we know, right? Branches only have life when they're connected to the vine. They get cut off from the vine. They wither up, die, and are thrown in the fire. The only way we do anything is in Christ. And we try to do things apart from Christ all the time, and it seems like there's maybe some life there, but he says ultimately in the end it all turns to nothing. It's pointless. It's meaningless. But in Christ, because of his suffering, because we're united to him, the opposite is true. Things aren't pointless, things aren't meaningless, yet we can now do things in him with his strength, with his power, and now there's purpose. And he actually says, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. It will happen. And another way to say that is that everything, when you're united to Christ, every single thing that happens in your life will bear fruit. Or as Romans says, all things will work together for your good. Or none of your suffering is meaningless. But there will be suffering. We read this. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, but every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will bear more fruit. That pruning that he's talking about is a level of suffering. It's talking about the Father coming in and cutting away parts of our life, or even parts of ourself. Maybe things that we really loved, things that we appreciated, things we once held dear, things we put our faith and trust in apart from Christ. And so when the Father comes in and says, I'm going to cut that off, it hurts. There's suffering involved in that. And yet we know the Father's not coming in just cutting willy-nilly. He's cutting just at the right time, the right thing, so that our lives would be shaped and molded to become more like Christ, or so that we would bear fruit. The suffering that is caused in our lives through the Father's pruning has meaning, has purpose, so that we would become more like Christ. This past week, I heard a really great line from John Piper. I was listening to one of his podcasts. Highly recommend it. Ask Pastor John podcast. If you listen to it, he has some good stuff in there. And he was talking about the suffering of the Apostle Paul. And I don't know how many people have caught this, but when God called the Apostle Paul into ministry, here's what God said about Paul. He said, I will show Paul how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So God said, God's calling on Paul's life that he would suffer, that his ministry would be one of suffering. And yet, he continued to go do minister all over. And he did it with joy. And so the question is, how did he do it with joy? Here's what on Good Friday, when we see Christ bearing the wrath of God for us, we know that when we're in Christ, when we're suffering, it's not God pouring his wrath out on us. Because Jesus already bore that. It's God working, pruning, shaping, molding us so that we could become more like him. Our suffering is not pointless. It will bear fruit. And when we can get that kind of deep down in our souls, it just changes everything about suffering. It's hard. We know that there's going to be all these different moments in our life where we're going to endure suffering and we're going to have no idea why, right? You'll look at suffering in your life and you'll say, I have no idea how this could be for my benefit or for my good. And the reality is, you don't need to know. You just need to know the one who's doing the pruning. And he's good. He's all-knowing. He knows what he's doing. And so you know that this is for your good. It's shaping you. It's like training. I was thinking about that this past week on a run. I went on a run this past week not paying very close attention to the weather. And I got about four minutes into my run, and I turned the corner, and it was 20-mile-an-hour headwinds, and then complete and utter downpour in like 40 degrees. It was not a joyful run. But I kept going. I kept running, and I finished. Why? Because it was pointless? No, because I knew that if I finished the run, there would be benefit. There would be something good in it for me, for my body, for my soul, for all of these things. And so I kept on doing the miserable thing, probably not with as much joy as I should have had, but with some level of joy, and finished, and I got through it, and I went, that was good. I feel good, because there was meaning and purpose behind the suffering. When we recognize that all of our suffering in Christ has meaning and purpose, it gives us this faith and hope and strength to just continue to trust Him in the midst of it. And that's helpful, that's good, and yet the reminder is even better than that. It's not just that we know that there's a point in our suffering, but the reminder tonight is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But when we're united to Him, we can endure. Because if we know that there's meaning and purpose, even if we try to create some kind of meaning and purpose in our suffering to try to get through it, we still won't get through it apart from Christ. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so the beautiful reminder for us tonight on Good Friday is that Christ suffered so we could be united to Him. And that now He, through His Holy Spirit, will be walking with us through every part of our life, giving us everything we need from now through the rest of our life and into eternity, that His suffering bore that much fruit for us. Let's come to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You just thankful for the reminder of not only Jesus' suffering, but the fruit that His suffering bore in our lives, in the life of Your people, the way it's caused Your church to be built up, to spread, to bring You glory. And Father, we come tonight admitting, recognizing that we don't often trust You in the midst of our own suffering. We often rely on ourselves. We get angry. We get frustrated. We try to even turn on You sometimes in our own suffering. And so, Father, we ask Your forgiveness tonight. That You forgive us for our pride, for our arrogance, for our lack of faith. And that You would do more than just forgive us, but that Your Spirit would work in us. That You would shape our hearts, shape our minds, shape our souls, that You would continue to prune us so that we would bear much fruit. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That You continue to prune us and shape us to become more like Jesus Christ. Father, we ask You to do that work through Your Spirit in each one of us as we go from here. Help keep this on our minds and hearts as we go from here tonight and as we look forward to celebrating the resurrection on Sunday morning. May You continue to draw us closer and closer to You. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.